You know, a couple of years ago, Steve and I decided, you know, we have 9 grandchildren, soon to be 10. And thank you, guys. Thank you to our Create team. Well done, everybody. We have the best of the best. We decided that we needed to get fitter to keep up with these little guys who are wild. They're all wild. All 9 of them. The 10th one probably will be too. And so he started working out in the gym. I went to the gym for a little bit. We went together. He thought it would be a really good idea for us to go to the gym together. No. He would come up and say, you're not doing that right. I'm like, I don't care. I'm doing it. You know what I mean? I don't want to be told I'm doing it wrong by you. Don't tell me. So that didn't last very long, but I found my thing. I love walking every morning. I get out. In fact, this morning I went for a walk. The bummer of today is the clocks go forward, right? Back? Yeah. And so sunrise was 7:23. Instead of yesterday, it was 6:23. So you kind of have to, you know, that's the bummer. But anyway, I will say, walking every morning is my jam. I love it. And I usually do a few miles, 3 or 4. So it takes a little while, and I've got AirPods in, so I'm listening to the Word of God, worship, messages. And this is going to, I'm giving you this for free. Morning sunlight, that early morning sunlight come in at you is so good for you. And I can tell you that in the 3 or so years I've been doing it, it has changed and refreshed my soul. And I feel like I'm a different person. Just even 3 years, am I fitter? Yeah, and I do a little bit of weights as well. But I'm a different person because there's just some things in the natural we can do to make our life better. And often we're like, God, this, man, my life. And there's just some things we can do. Now, I know some of you are up to your eyeballs in little kids, and it's like, I can't even get outside. And I want to say to you, stick them in the stroller and take them with you. And I've done that with grandkids who have screamed half the while. I know it's like a little fight. Sometimes they don't want to sit in the stroller. Do it anyway. If you go out there for 10 minutes, 10 minutes will change your life. So this morning, again, I want to give a shout out to our church because we had an incredible devoted conference. Thank you. Thank you, church. And I'm grateful to God that He chose for us to have it here. Shout out to all of you watching online. It's good to have you here. So the title of my message this morning is, I Had a Dream. And you're probably thinking as you sit there, no, I have a dream. And I want to say to you, great. But I'm going to be teaching from the story of Joseph this morning. And I love this story because it challenges us everything we want to think about having a dream. See, Joseph had a dream. The Bible says in Genesis 37:5, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Okay, so let's time out. Joseph, son of Isaac, grandson of Abraham. So remember, Abraham and Sarah couldn't have a child. Remember the wrestle? God, oh, we're going to have a child. God's going, you're going to be Abraham, the father of, I mean, look at the stars. You're going to have that many descendants. And Sarah's like, it's never going to happen. Then they have baby Isaac. And then Jacob is the son of Isaac. And Joseph is one of his sons. And we had 12 sons, and Joseph is the second youngest. Not only is he the second youngest, but Dad loves him a lot. And the brothers know that. Never good in a family situation. In fact, they gave him an incredible coat. Have you guys heard the story of Joseph? I think they did a Broadway musical, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, or which is probably so far from scripture anyway, but whatever. So Joseph is about 17 and he has this dream. And his brothers hate him because already he is favored. And this is what the dream is. He said to them, listen to the dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain together, tying them together out in the field. when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. Oh my gosh, it's going south already. While your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Like, who the heck do you think you are? As every older sibling says to every younger sibling. Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Up to verse 9. Then he had another dream and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? We just stop the dreams. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Huh. Dreams. You know, Steve and I met him when we were 17. When I think of Joseph at 17, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that age. We got dreams in our heart and we shoot our mouth off about all that God is going to do in our lives. We were just like that. We had a hunger and a passion for God, and we needed someone to go t-t-t-t. So Jacob sends Joseph out. His brothers have gone out and they're tending the sheep. And Jacob says, Joseph, go out there and check on them. Now, previously he had done that before and given a bad report. Dad, the brothers are not doing great. That's when they started hating him. Then he has this dream and they hate him all the more. So this time he goes out wearing his coat. And the brothers are like, here comes Joseph. You know what? Let's kill him. I mean, you thought your family had problems? You might have kids that don't get on. But hopefully it hasn't come to this. So anyway, they strip him. They decide, maybe we won't kill him, but let's throw him in this pit. Verse 27 says, come, let's sell him. So they agree they won't kill him. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother. Oh, hello. Our own flesh and blood. His brothers agreed. Verse 36. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar. So the Midianites take him to Egypt. One of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. You ever had a dream? Dreams are invigorating, exciting. You know, we can have dreams at any age, but, you know, I think about young people who are in high school, looking at going to college, thinking about a career. Maybe you're in your early 20s, thinking about what's ahead for you. Possibly marriage, a family. In your 30s, how's the career going? 40s, 50s, looking ahead to retirement, maybe. Or starting something new. Dreams come at various stages in our lives. You know, as new believers, when Steve and I were 17, I remember. I'd been going to the church a couple of years and he had gotten saved, and I met Steve about a month after he'd become a Christian. I remember thinking, those blue eyes, something about those. And so we were talking for a little bit, and then all of a sudden, he disappeared. I mean, no, he literally disappeared. He packed all his belongings in black trash bags, put them in the trunk of his car, and with a friend, they drove to another state about 12 hours away. Now, this is in the dark ages, before people had cell phones. So no one could contact him. His parents didn't even know where he was. And we weren't really dating, but they're like, yeah, we're not sure where Steve is. The truth is, he was running from God. God had put a dream in his heart. In fact, the night he became a Christian, the guy who was speaking prophesied over him and said, you're going to be one of Sydney's great youth leaders. Well, what did that mean to him? Like, I don't even know what's going on here. And maybe for you, maybe you had this dream, but there's the wrestle, isn't there? The wrestle of what am I, God, I want to follow you. There's an exhilaration when I think about, God, what you've deposited in my heart. Oh, when I think about that, Lord, I want to do that. But in our mind, we have an idea of what the dream is going to look like and how it's going to play out. At 17, for Steve and I, we had a passion to serve Jesus. Oh, we didn't know what it was going to look like. If you would have said to me, you're going to pastor a church in America, I'd have been like, you're out of your mind. I'm going to serve God, but pastor material. I remember trying to get out of church, and our pastor would stand at the front door shaking people's hands, and I'd sidle out with the crowd. For real, because I was like, oh, you're next to God. I can't possibly shake your hand. So no one is more, I don't know, shocked isn't really the word. It's kind of hilarious that God goes, you. And I want to say that to you too. You have a dream in your heart. You've had a dream. There's an exhilaration in it. But then you find yourself in a pit, like Joseph did. Joseph finds himself in a pit. Guys, I had a dream. Yeah, let's get rid of this kid. And maybe for you, you have found yourself in a pit too. Going, God, I love you and I want to serve you and I just don't understand. Anyone said that? God, I don't understand. Lord, where are you and what's going on? And have you ever discovered that heaven is kind of silent on those questions? I don't know that Joseph, as he stood, whatever, in the pit, is hearing from God. I think he's just like, well, that didn't work out too great. I mean, I thought my brothers liked me. I mean, I know I was kind of the favored one, but now? Now they're plotted to kill me. But maybe, friend, the pit is part of the journey. Oh! You know, Steve found himself in Melbourne, a different city. No money, nowhere to stay, got a reckless driving ticket on the way. And yet God met him there. First person he ran into, Christian. A really good one that invited him home for a meal with his friend. And even for Joseph, he cannot escape the fact that God has marked him with this dream. Doesn't feel like it at the time. And friend, maybe that's where you find yourself too. Really discouraged. See, maybe your hopes hinged on an acceptance letter to a certain college and you didn't get it. Or maybe you married the person of your dreams and this is it. And it ended in divorce. It was never what you thought it was going to be. And you wonder, can God still bring the dream? Can he? And I want to tell you, he absolutely can. Don't give up on the dream. I want to give you a little, I don't know what I would call it, a little bit of wisdom. The reason why the dream is going to come to pass was because it's not all about you. Isn't that great? And, at the same time, I want the dream to be about me. I want to be the central figure in the dream. But God says, no, the dream is way beyond and broader than just you. And that's why the dream will never leave. The Bible says the calling of God, the gifts and callings of God on your life are without repentance. They're there whether you choose to do it or not. Not doing it's a lot harder than doing it, even though doing it is hard, following Christ. But here you are. You're in the pit, and it just feels overwhelming. And I want to encourage you today. The dream you had, it's going to look different than what you thought. Oh, see, Joseph thought, my family's going to bow down to me. This is going to be amazing. And it was amazing for the glory of God. Next point is the devil wants to destroy you and your dream. He wants to destroy you and your dream. We're going to pick it up in chapter 39, verses 2 through 5. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Wow. So let me ask you a question as I ask myself these same things. Is your employer blessed because you're on their team? Are they? Can you be trusted to handle privileged information, confidences, work hard to find answers, handle your job with precision and care? Is God's favor operating over my life like it should or not? Because of the choices I am making and the way I am living. Wow. See, God, you had a dream, and God goes, yes, you did. So come on. And then you find yourself in a pit, and you're like, I don't like this, and I don't like, no, God, that's not how the dream's supposed to play out. And then you find yourself working in a job you don't like, in an area you don't like, doing life with someone you don't like, and you're just like, it's just the devil. It's just the devil. It's just the devil. And I want to challenge all of us, including me. Are you bringing your best anyway? Are you bringing an excellent spirit? Because God's name is excellent, and that's what he requires of us, and it's really hard to do, especially when everything feels like it's against us. But I want to encourage you, church. You're better than this. You're better than bringing whatever. Well, it's not fair, and I don't care, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. How excellent is your name. Because you're excellent, God, I'm going to bring my best. But again, we do have an enemy. Genesis 39, let's see what happens in verse 6. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Man, what do you got to do that for? Some of you are like, now where's my well built and handsome man? Verse 10. Listen to this. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, He refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Compromise. The challenge to compromise when it gets hard. The devil is after us to destroy us. And it starts right here. Joseph's character is being molded in the really hard. And I want to say that to you too. That in the really hard, God meets us profoundly if we lean into him in a way that changes us forever. For the last couple of months, our staff girls have been walking through the book, The Battlefield of the Mind, written by Joyce Meyer. You know, Joyce sold 7 million copies of this book. It was her best-selling book. And can I tell you, I've read it before, and a number of our staff, in fact, Gay, you said you'd read it before. But I think it's a must-read every 10 years. She talks about how the devil is coming for us in here. And if he can get in here, he can get in here. And if he gets in here, what does the Bible say? Guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. So if he gets here and he gets here, whoa. And that's what he's trying to do with Joseph. He's trying to get him off course. And he's trying to get all of us off course. But anyway, something that she has said, it wasn't in her book. I listened to a podcast afterwards. She said, I've started, even as an older woman now, I've started doing something really simple. And that is I wake up every morning and I just sit and I have my hands open like this and I say, Lord, I receive your love today. I receive your love today. And as she sits there for about 5 or 10 minutes, Lord, I receive your love. Thank you for the price you paid to give me the life I have. Lord, I receive your love. Now, that sounds simple, but I promise you, I've done it a couple times. And in the quiet and the still, no one else around, Lord, I receive your love. It's actually pretty overwhelming. Because when there's quiet and you're like, Lord, whew, Holy Spirit comes. And then she says, and Lord, what can I do for you today? Everything I want to do for you today is according to your will. And I promise you, as you start, again, everything is a discipline we have to bring into our lives, isn't it? But as you start your day, Lord, I receive your love. Yesterday, you might think to yourself, well, yesterday my life was chaos and a mess. This morning I got up, it's still chaos and a mess. But I want to challenge you, Lord, I receive your love. I just receive it. That's going to change your mindset and your heart for the day. There's something about being in his presence. And then something about being in the Word. Why did Joseph not fall to the temptation? Why? He's a Hebrew boy, Jewish. Raised in the Jewish law. Lots of people raised in the Jewish law. But I put it to you that God's law didn't just go from here. It went in here. And friend, you want to resist the devil? Because he's coming for you. And he has power. But I'm going to give you a little clue. He has no authority. Amen. At the name of Jesus. Amen. At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. Now, Joseph, of course, this is pre-Jesus. But I guarantee you, I know who I am. God's molding character. I can resist her because, Lord, I had a dream. I don't know where it went. But, God, I'm trusting you. Psalm 91 says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him before he acknowledges my name. Guy is Joseph's oozing character and integrity. But we pick it up back into our story with Joseph, verses 11 to 12. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She, Potiphar's wife, caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Man, we thought Desperate Housewives was a 21st century thing. But can this guy catch a break? Like, really? Like, God, I have this dream. And maybe you're sitting there going, it just feels like time after time, I get up and I try again and I start again and boom, something else happens. You know, after this, Joseph finds himself in jail. He's probably lucky that Potiphar didn't kill him. Even though this woman has lied about him. And friend, listen, there's going to be opportunities or there's going to be times when people say and do things against you and it's wrong. And it's unfair, and you want to fight. But God is at work in it. God is always at work. That song, Waymaker, even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Our job is to trust God through it all. Where's your dream today? Is it shattered into a million pieces? Is there a little glimmer of hope in your heart? I'm here to tell you this morning, the dream hasn't changed. It hasn't. It just looks different to what you thought. You see, you thought you were going to walk into this chapter and it was just going to be blissful, amazing, perfect. And it feels anything but that. You see, God is still present in the darkest of times. When it feels like everybody is against you. When it feels so lonely. God, where are you? Genesis 39, verse 20. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. Friend, the Lord is with you. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph, and he gave him success in whatever he did. He's just excellent because that's who he is. His character's being formed. He's being true to who he is. He's not yelling and screaming. And let's face it, we've all yelled and screamed. God, why? Why? Like I got a pit. Then I'm sold. And then I'm accused. And now I'm in jail. This seems so far from my family bowing down to me. While he's in jail, he has a dream, and he interprets dreams for a couple of guys, and they come true. And one of the guys, he says to Joseph, says, hey, can you remember me when you get out of here so I can get out? Yeah, sure. But Genesis 40 says, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. So that break you were going to get, and the person that was going to set it up for you, who disappeared, no, they're not your provision. God is. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, has a dream. And this cupbearer remembers, oh yeah, there was a guy. There was a guy, I remember. This is years later. And Joseph interprets his dream. It's going to be 7 years of plenty. And then it's going to be 7 years of famine. And this is how you got to do it. And the Bible says in Genesis 41, that Pharaoh says, you're in charge of all of Egypt. In fact, not only are you in charge of all of Egypt, you're in charge of the house, my household, everything. Joseph finds himself because why? Because he trusted God through it all. Last thing I want to say to you is, so he's about 30 then. Guard your heart. I talked about guarding your heart about everything. So there was 7 years of plenty, and then 7 years of famine hits. And amazingly, Joseph's family, his brothers, his dad, it's a long story, long and involved story, his younger brother come for food. And the Bible says Joseph sees them. Now, there's a little bit of back and forth in between. You need to read it. But ultimately, Joseph's family shows up. And Joseph walks to another room and is sobbing. Sobbing so loud that the people in the palace can hear him. And this is what Joseph says. He's now about 40, 23 years. Genesis 45, Joseph says, "But God sent me ahead of you, family, to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save our lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me." Remember that pit? It's part of the journey. "It was not you who sent me here, but God." Interestingly, because of the position Joseph had with Pharaoh, his family came in and they didn't recognize him and they all bowed to him. So the dream actually was true. 23 years premature. The dream was true. But it looked very different. Why am I telling you to guard your heart? Because you've got enemies out there. You've got people saying stuff about you. But for you to be able to say like Joseph, God used it all. And so I want to challenge all of us, as I challenge me today, in your speech, in your attitude, in your character, in your work ethic, what are you bringing to your life? I think back to the messy 17-year-old Steve and I were, clueless. To set a heart for God. I think back to the black trash bags that were in the trunk of a car where God met him. I'm grateful that Steve made his way back. Somehow, again with his speeding ticket, someone stepped in, as only God can. But I'm a little older now. I'm here to tell you there's been pits. There's been the enemy. There's been betrayal. There's been all kinds of things where I could stand here and say, God. But instead I stand here and go, God, you are faithful. Look what God has done. Last week it devoted, look what God has done. Look what the Lord has done. Friend, I want to pray for you this morning. Maybe you had a dream. Maybe you have a dream. And you're just wondering, what the heck is going on? Maybe it feels like it's shattered into a million pieces. Maybe you're like, Lord, I was hanging on to this. Maybe there is things that have happened in your life you don't understand. I'm here to tell you. The passion and gifts that God has put into your life are there forever. And so I want to pray for us. I'm praying for Christians this morning. If you want to say, Sharon, yep, I just need my soul reinvigorated with the dream. I want you to lift your hand. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, just lift your hand. I need that dream reinvigorated in my heart. That's it. That's it. That's it. The dream hasn't died. It hasn't died. It hasn't gone away. God is using everything that comes your way. He's going to use it and he's going to say, step up. So, Father, right now, as we place our hands on our heart, we just say, Lord, invigorate our heart and our soul. Lord, I just pray for refreshment into these beautiful people's hearts and into their minds. Lord, remind them that everything is part of the journey. The pit, the attacks, the wilderness where it just feels like, where are you, God? Just remind them. I pray today they would leave here more invigorated, more passionate, knowing that they play a part in a really big kingdom picture. Remind them of that, God, that the choices they make today have eternal significance, but also they leave a legacy. So, Father, remind them of that. I pray you whisper in their ear, you are dearly loved and you are not forgotten. Father, thank you. Holy Spirit of God, do what only you can do. Give us the courage to walk out of here and go, I'm going for it, God. I'm living that dream you placed in my heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.